read together now these words from the book of Genesis, these words that God tells Abraham. Let us read these words together. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Hashtag blessed. They ain't ready for me. Is that the coolest bumper or what? Thank you. Yes, that's all I want is just some applause. Yes. All right, we're going to continue our worship now as we sing some more and then we'll leave. That's, oh my gosh, that's like my favorite thing about today is we get to watch Bruno Mars. How do you follow that? We are starting a new sermon series today called Hashtag Blessed, and really just talking about what does it mean to be blessed, right? I mean, I think a lot of times now, like this hashtag, this thing has really gotten used to the point of irony, right? I mean, like it doesn't even mean anything anymore that when we talk about blessing, when we talk about this thing, really we're not talking about God, right? We're really talking about it in this, like, you know, just ironic way. And one of the worst things that's ever happened in our culture is that, like, we've used irony to the point of irony, right? Like, you can't, when you talk to somebody, like, you really can't tell if they're, like, being real or not. You ever been in that conversation? You ever been in conversation with somebody who is way cooler than you and you have no idea if they're being serious or not? You've had this conversation, right? Like you're having a conversation with somebody and they say that thing and they're like, oh man, Full House is the best show ever. And you're like, yeah. Right? Like, how do I say something without like actually giving away what I don't know what we're talking about? And this is what like blessed has started to mean, right? It started to get into use in this ironic way. That many times we associate blessing with stuff. And if you have your sermon notes, they're in your bulletin. If you like taking notes, you're welcome to take those out and fill in some blanks. Just maybe something to take home and help remind us about what we're learning today. That many times we associate blessing with stuff, right? We associate with how much junk we have. And we rate this by our blessing, right? And if you haven't, you know, just cruised Instagram and looked for this hashtag, I did it for you. And so we're going to look at a couple of things. And this is really just like a typical, like, you know, just, okay, so it says, you know, strive for progress, not perfection. Hashtag blessed, hashtag fitness, hashtag physique, hashtag Saturday, hashtag model. Now, here's the thing. Somebody handed somebody else the phone and then said, take a picture, right? And then like sat on the stoop. That's the thing you don't see in that picture, right? But this is like, this is what it's come to, that we get to use this phrase now just to mean like whatever we want. And we get to use it just in like really kind of obscure ways. This is, okay, so somebody said mid-fade comb over, hashtag comb, hashtag Miami barber, hashtag Texas barber, hashtag mesquite, hashtag clean fade, hashtag faded, hashtag blessed. Where did that fall in the line of those things? And then, like what does that mean anymore? What is this about? And then finally, you know, if it just didn't get audacious enough, you know, we have this picture of a toilet. Amongst the 50 hashtags in there lies the hashtag blessed praying hands. Now, if you're into emojis, you know that praying hands is really like if you want God to bless you extra, you use the praying hands. Did you know that? Okay, so a learning point for us today. If you really want a blessing from God, use the emoji praying hands. God cruises Instagram, finds that, and then you get more stuff. That's right. We get into these modes where it's just like it doesn't mean anything anymore. Like, what does it mean to be blessed? What does it mean? Does it really just mean more stuff? Or does it mean just like this ironic thing that was never meant to mean in the first place? What does it mean to be blessed? And what we find out is through the story of Abraham is this, that God's goal is to bless the world through our calling. God's goal is not just to bless you. God's goal is not just to bless you, but to bless the world through your calling, through that thing that only you can do, through that thing that only you have, that power that only you have. God's goal is to bless the world through you. And we read about it in Abraham. We read about God choosing Abraham, and through Abraham, all the peoples of the world shall be blessed. We read about this. God didn't give Abraham to have just more stuff, but God blessed him so that he could in turn bless the world. And we do it through our calling, that thing that only we can do. Frederick Buechner, a prominent Christian theologian, said our calling is where our greatest passion meets the world's greatest need. And I believe you have that thing. You have that thing, and maybe you haven't found it yet. Maybe you're still searching. Maybe you think you found it, you're not quite sure, but there is something about you. There is something about you that is desperately passionate. That is desperately passionate, and that matches the world's need for somebody to be passionate about that thing. Right? There, you have something deep within you that whenever that thing gets mentioned, whenever that thing happens, whenever it comes up in conversation, when you see it on the news, when something happens, you feel this thing well up inside you. You feel this urge, this drive, this power to start working within you, and you realize that that thing matches the world's need. That's because God put it there. That's because God placed it within you so that you can use it to help heal the world. This is what God has done, and is God is trying to do through you, that God is trying to bless the world through your calling. But we have to listen for it. We have to pay attention to it, or we'll miss it completely. This is what we're called to do. We're called to bless the world. That's why we're blessed, not just to have more stuff, but to actually bless the world. A few years ago, there was a study that came out. There was two groups of missionaries that went to Thailand. These were completely different groups of people from different denominations, different church sects, and they went to Thailand both around the same time, and both of them had really kind of different goals when they got to Thailand, these missionary teams. One group went there, and their entire goal was to convert people, right? So the people that weren't Christian, their goal was to go and meet those people, talk to them about Jesus, and have them become Christian. That was their goal. And these people, these missionary teams, according to the study, became called converters. But there was another group of people that went to Thailand. And they said, you know what, like Thailand, like this place is really in need of a blessing. They really just need people to be with them, to bless them. And these people became called blessers. And so this study watched these missionary teams in Thailand for 2 years. And they watched their ministry, they followed them, they tried to see what they would do. And what is the difference between people who are blessers and people who are converters? That what did these two different missionary teams do? And at the end of 2 years, they found out something really astonishing. That the blessers contributed to more what they called social good. That what they saw was that, you know, people who owned shops that needed help, the blessers were the first to help. That people who had children who needed help, that the blessers were the first to help. That people who were in Thailand that really needed the help, the blessers were the people who got out there and actually did the help. That they contributed to more social good. Not only that, but that the blessers had 50 times more conversions. That the people who went out and their entire goal was to convert people, they achieved 50 times less conversions than the people who just went out and said, we're just going to be a blessing. We're just going to, you know, do some good out in the world. That here's the thing. That I think that this world, what it doesn't need is just one more group of people who meet somebody and on the first time they meet say, you know, if you died today, where would you go? Right? Like, have you ever had that conversation with somebody? Has somebody ever approached you and asked you this? And one of my first things that crosses my mind is, do you really care? Right? Do you really care where I go? Because you haven't known me. You don't know my name. You don't know where I'm from. You don't know what my passion is. You don't know what I care about. You don't know about my family. Do you really care what happens to me? That how could this be your primary concern if you do not know me? But what the world can do more of is a group of people who go out into this world and say, I want to be a blessing to you. I want to be a blessing to you, not because of what you can do for me. And not necessarily so that you'll just become Christian, but because I believe God has called me to bless you. That imagine how much more radically this world would change if the group of people called Christians, the group of people who claimed to follow Jesus, went out into the world and they simply said, I love you. I love you. Not because of what you can do for me, not because of your talent or skill, not because of anything that you can do, but because of who you are. Because I believe you were created in the image of God. And God has called me to love you. Imagine the way the world would change if the people called Christians started to live life that way. Because that's what Jesus does. Jesus invites us to bless alongside him. Right? He calls us. Jesus spent his entire ministry blessing people. And he spent his entire ministry blessing people who didn't deserve it. Right? When Jesus came into the world, he met all the religious leaders. He knew all of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all the people who worked in the temple. He met all of them. And he said, you know what? These people are already blessed. They already are wealthy. They already have a good lifestyle. I'm going to go out into the world and find the people who need blessing. I'm going to go out into the world and find the people who are outcasts and poor, the people who are unclean, the people who are sick, the people who need fresh clothes. I want to go out into the world and bless those people. And Jesus did that. And when he did that, he didn't just do it for himself, but he did it so that he can invite other people alongside him. That's why he did it. Read in the Gospel of Luke, just after Jesus has been baptized, early on in the Gospel of Luke by John the Baptist, and immediately after he's baptized, he is sent out into the wilderness. He's sent out into the desert where he's fasted for 40 days and he's tempted by the devil. He's tempted by the devil, and if you read about it, it's in Luke 3, if you ever get a chance just to kind of read through that and how Jesus responds. It's a really incredible story. And immediately after Jesus is tempted in the desert, he goes to his hometown. He goes to Nazareth, which is this small town in the ancient Near East. And if you've ever, you know, grown up in a small town and kind of moved away, you know what it's like to go back, you know, and to see things that really haven't changed all that much and see people who really haven't changed all that much. But Jesus has had this incredible change, right? He's had this incredible life experience that's happened to him in the desert. He has now been baptized. That God claimed him and said, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. You know, you listen to him, right? And this incredible event has happened. Jesus has changed radically since he went back home. And now he went back home and he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And we read about this in the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom, and he stood to read the scroll from the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Now, so we believe that Jesus Christ was fully God and fully human. Jesus is one member of the Trinity, God in three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That Jesus is the Son part, that Jesus was fully God and fully human, that God chose to come to this earth, right? God, an infinite being that we cannot imagine a being as grand as God. God put skin on, like Jesus, and he came down to this earth. And when he came to this earth, he went to this small Podunkville, Nazareth, and he said that his entire ministry was to bring good news to the poor. To bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. That whenever God came to this earth and proclaimed his mission, he said it was to go and bless everyone else. Right? He sat in that synagogue and he said, my goal, my mission is to go out into this world and bless people. To bless people. And they may not be here in this synagogue. In fact, they're probably not. In fact, they're probably unclean. In fact, they're probably not good enough to make it into here. Jesus went to his hometown of Nazareth. He read from the prophet Isaiah. He said these words. He sits down, which means he's about to give his teaching. He said, this word has been fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, Jesus said, I'm the Son of God. I'm here now to do this very thing. And the people of Nazareth hated him. You can imagine, right, going back to your hometown and telling them, you know, that you're the Son of God, telling them that you're, you know, the best thing since sliced bread, and just watch the anger dwell up in them, right? They start saying, isn't this Joseph's son? Like, isn't this the poor carpenter's son? Isn't this the kid that, you know, we watched grow up? We know him. They take him outside the city and they try to throw him off a cliff. They try to kill him. Because the thing is that a blessing, that when we try to bless other people, it will almost always offend someone else, right? That when we try to bless someone, when we try to bless other people, it will almost always offend someone else. Because there were people who stood around Jesus constantly. People who stood around Jesus and said, well, why aren't you talking to me, Jesus? The religious elite, all of these wealthy people, they said, God has blessed me. I have all this stuff. And Jesus said that he came here to bless these people. He came to bring good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, that Jesus came and did this thing and he offended everyone else. But you want to know how well you're doing at blessing people? How many people have you offended? How many people have you walked away from so that you can go and spend time with someone who doesn't deserve your presence? This was Jesus' entire ministry. And he invites us on that same mission. He invites us to do the work alongside him. We are invited to go on this mission and just kind of help us understand what God has called us to. We've divided this kind of handy thing, the three R's of God's blessing strategy. We're going to do it. Okay. To reach those who are far from God, to reach out to those who are far from God, that our goal is to bless other people. And sometimes that's going to include people that go to church. Like sometimes that's going to be for people who are part of our church community, but sometimes it's not. And in fact, most times Jesus spent time with people who were never around the synagogue. And so our goal, our mission is to reach out to those who are far from God. So, you know, I know you don't know what you believe about this kind of stuff, but I do. And I think God has called me to do this for you, with you, beside you. To reach out to those who are far from God and to also restore God's dream for this world. That in the book of Genesis, early on in the first two chapters, we read about God's creation of the entire universe. We read about this and we read that God had a plan. God had an intended value of the earth. God had a way that it was all gonna go, and then something went wrong. And fast forward to Jesus Christ, who said, I've come now to announce the year of the Lord's favor, to announce the time when God is gonna set this world back to the way he meant it. And I'm gonna use these people to do it. I'm gonna use a bunch of people who are fallible, who are faulty, a bunch of people who fail all the time, but I'm gonna bless them. I'm gonna bless them so that they can help do this thing with me. They're gonna restore this world to the way God meant it, that God dreamt up in the first place. And finally, we're gonna reproduce the mission and the lives of others. That what is really amazing about the mission of God is that it can multiply exponentially. Right, that every time we bless somebody else, we can encourage them to bless other people. Right, that every time we bring somebody else alongside us in the mission of God, we can encourage them to do the same thing with someone else. That many times what we do on the Acts 2 campus, we have many soccer teams and lacrosse teams, all these different kids who practice, these teams that practice on our field free of charge. And what we encourage them to do is you know, we don't charge them anything, but we ask them, you know, give back to the community in some way. Go and volunteer somewhere, do something good for the community or for the world. And what a lot of these kids do is go to the food bank, or they collect canned foods and donate them to the schools for their canned food drive. And what we see is that this mission starts to multiply, that it doesn't just end with us, that we bring other people alongside us. That's what Jesus did his entire life. Jesus was blessed and he started to realize that he was gonna have to bring more people alongside him. He was gonna have to bring more people alongside him to help do this thing. And so what he did was he started, I was supposed to say begin, being with prayer. Okay, Jesus began with prayer. That he realized that he was called to go and bring about the will of God, and he realized that he couldn't do this alone, so he had to bring other people alongside him. And so we read in the Gospel of Luke these words. Now, during those days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. He spent the night in prayer to God, and when day came, he called his disciples and chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles. Simon, who he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, and John, and goes on and lists the rest of the disciples. That here's the thing. Jesus spent the entire night in prayer before one of the biggest decisions he'll ever make in his life. And when he spent that night in prayer, the next morning, it came time to choose the disciples, and Jesus chose the worst people imaginable, right? He chose the most unqualified people that could do this job. He chose the worst people that could be there. That I imagine that if I was in Jesus' spot, I would have gone and picked better people, right? More reliable, people who have shown a pattern that they can actually do this thing. And Jesus prays all night. And he wakes up the next morning and he goes and he picks these people. He picks Simon Peter, who will deny him. He picks Judas, who will betray him. He picks a bunch of disciples who will leave him at the time of his death. But once they see the resurrection, once they see the new life of Jesus Christ, Christianity spreads like a wildfire across the globe. When was the last time we spent all night in prayer? When was the last time we felt like we were about to make the biggest decision of our life and we spent that entire night in prayer trying to align our heart with God's? That as we are called to go on the mission with God, go on the mission to actually bless the world, as we feel called that we are about to go and do this thing, the first thing we have to do is pray about it. Is pray about it. That prayer is both how you discover the mission and how you do the mission. That it's both of those things. That if we are searching for our calling, if we are searching for what we are supposed to do in this world, prayer is both how we start it and how we discover it, how we learn about it. So my hope is that we would leave from this place and we would start to pray, and that specifically we would pray for what we call divine appointments. Divine appointments are simply the belief that we believe that every encounter we have, every conversation we had was organized by God. That every conversation, what if we spent our day at work or our day running errands, what if we spent our entire day believing that God had orchestrated every conversation we're about to have? And God planned that through those conversations, we would bless people. And maybe that's something as simple as smiling at another person, or maybe it's something as complex as getting involved in somebody else's life. That what if we started to believe that every conversation we had was organized by God to bless the world? And so we're going to pray for divine appointments, but here's the thing. In order to do this, we have to be present. We have to be present. We have to actually be present in a moment, right? We actually have to like get rid of our phones for just a second so that we can actually be in conversation with another person. Right, we actually have to put stuff down. We actually have to look somebody else in the eye. We have to be present. We have to be there in order to do it. That in order to bless the world, in order to have these divine appointments, we actually have to be present. This is what we learn throughout Jesus's ministry, that throughout his ministry, Jesus is constantly present and is constantly mindful of the things that are going on around him, even when nobody else is. Right, even when nobody else is thinking about what is going on, that there is this story in the Bible where Jesus is walking in a crowd, and there's people have just like pushed in beside Jesus, and people are just bumping back and forth, and in that moment there is this woman, right, and she has this hemorrhage, and she starts to learn about Jesus. I read about it in the Gospels here that she heard about Jesus and came up behind him in a crowd, and she touched his cloak. For she said, if I but touch his clothes, I will be made well. And immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease, immediately aware that the power had gone from him. Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, who touched me? That Jesus is walking in this crowd. And even in that moment, Jesus is mindful that God is doing something. that God is active even in this crowd of people, even just in transit, right? Even just going from one place to another, Jesus is mindful that God is active. This woman touches Jesus' clothes and she receives healing and Jesus senses it. And so he stops the entire crowd and he says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples say, "Listen, people are crowded in around you. There's no way you could just say, 'Who touched me?' Everybody touched you." And he says, "No, somebody has received healing." And he learns about this woman and he commends her for her faith. All because Jesus was present in a moment. That we're going to pray for these divine appointments. We're going to pray that God will orchestrate each and every conversation that we have. And we're going to be mindful. And so we're going to try to bless people through every conversation we have. And here's the thing. Even if you mess up, you're still being faithful, right? As we talk about these divine appointments, we talk about, you know, like these opportunities to bless people. And one of the biggest fears is like, you know, what if we say the wrong thing? You know, what if we ask somebody, like, "How can I be a blessing to you today?" And they look at you and give you that look and be like, "What? Nothing. That's a weird thing to say. Don't say that to me." You know, like we're so nervous about messing up. But here's the thing. Even if we mess up, even if we don't do the right thing, we're still faithful. I remember one time whenever I was in high school, I attended this youth group. It was just kind of a bunch of different denominations coming in and having youth group. And one time I got to share a devotional. And it was actually like one of the first times I spoke in front of people, and it was a really fun experience. And I felt like it was really great. And so I spoke in front of this group of my peers, all these students that I knew and went to high school with. And I got done and worship was continuing. And so I walked to the back and I was just kind of, you know, back there, like, you know, praying and you know, worshiping and doing all these things. And I looked up and I saw this kid in the back row. In the back row was this kid, and he was that kid who like came to youth group but really didn't like believe in any of it, right? He was like just coming to get the free pizza or to play ping pong or to do whatever. And like everybody knew about it and was cool with it. Like, you know, "We're glad you're here." And he was sitting in a chair. Everybody else was standing, and he was sitting in his chair, and he had his hands, his face in his hands, you know. And I had this moment where I was like, "Oh, like God is calling me to pray with him." Right? And I was like, "Oh man, no, like that's too awkward. You know, I can't do that." And I was like, no, like that's what's happening. And so he was sitting in the back row. There wasn't anybody else sitting next to him. And I was like, "Well, this would be really easy." And so I walked up next to him and I sat down and right next to him, and he didn't look up. You know, and he didn't look up. And I was like, "Okay, well, you know, like how am I getting attention or whatever like that?" And so I just take my hand and I place it on his shoulder, and he looks up and gives me that look like, "What are you doing?" And I had that look that said, "I have no idea." Right? Have you ever had just these moments? I was like, I thought I was supposed to be here, but clearly I have completely misread the situation, right? He looks up at me, there's this look, it was like, you know, like, "What are you doing?" And we didn't even talk. like he looked up and like this look, it was like, "What are you doing?" And I looked to the back and I was like, "I have no idea." And I just said, "I'm sorry." And I just got back up and walked away. Like, that was the entire thing that happened. Here's the thing. If we try to bless the world, we're going to mess up. Amen? Come on. We're not that good all the time. We're going to misread some situations. We're going to mess up. And even when we mess up, friends, even when we do the wrong thing. Did you just snort? Pull it together. Oh, you're new here. It's okay. Don't worry about it. No. Even when we mess up, even when we do the wrong thing, like we're still being faithful. That if we began with prayer, if we really tried to listen for God and we end up doing the wrong thing, that's okay. We're still being faithful. So my hope, my prayer for you this week, my hope is that we would pray every morning for divine appointments. We would pray every morning and try to be mindful. Maybe before we go into a meeting, just to say a prayer under our breath. That God would orchestrate something, that God is working all things new, that God is doing something powerful in this conversation, that we would begin to pray that God is making something divine happening in this moment. That we would pray every morning for divine appointments, and that we would also pray for someone we can bless. Now, here's the thing. I think we need to start praying. We need to start praying for one person. For one person whose life we can change. So We're going to pray at the end of the sermon, and my hope is that God would start to lay on our heart the name of one person, the name of one person who we can really bless, who we can really bless, who is probably, you know, not really active in a church community, who doesn't really have a close group of friends, who doesn't have somebody in their life that could actually do this thing for them. That my hope is that throughout this week, as we start to pray and as we start to close our eyes and ask God, that God will start to lay this heart, this name on our heart again and again and again. And this will be a name of maybe one person, of one person whose life we can actually change. And just imagine if we started to do this thing, right? If the people who proclaimed faith in Jesus Christ started to imagining their lives by how they could bless other people, that if each person took on one other person whose life could really change, imagine the impact that would have on this world. Because that person would find somebody else, and that person would find somebody else, and this world would start to look more like what God meant it in the first place. That this world would actually change for the better. That our neighbors would be more loving, that our coworkers might actually find hope again, that people who thought all was lost might find peace in Jesus Christ, all because we prayed. All because we prayed for the name of one person whose life could change for the better. That is my hope for each and every one of us.